Good morning, everyone, and welcome home. Good morning, church, my fellow beloved siblings, brothers and sisters, and friends joining us. All right, we are excited to have you here today. And those joining us online, right, good morning to you. And if one thing, a public service announcement also, is if you have not liked our channel, follow us, all right, please click the subscribe button and also the turn on the little bell for your notification, right? So this is what we are encouraging everyone to do watching in. In fact, do share our channel with your family and friends, all right, so that we can actually share this our wonderful news with them also. All right, so before we start today, actually, this Sunday is rather special. I've been looking forward to it. Anyone want to make a guest? Not those online, maybe you want to type in the live chat. But today is actually the last Sunday in our Christian liturgical calendar. It marks the end of the Christian year. And something I am excited about is next week is Advent, all right? And so our hope is renewed again, once again, and we can start looking forward to a new and more beautiful year ahead. So before we start a service, right, today will be the last sermon on our sermon series, right, on A Better Normal. And we're going to explore, come together, as we prepare for Advent, a radical hope. We'll first reflect and meditate on radical hospitality, because God first welcomed us when we were strangers. All right? So as we meditate on this and prepare our hearts and receive the word from God in our spirit, I'd like to invite all of us to respond to the call to worship together. Today is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Let us be glad this day for life, for breath, and for freedom to worship.
Blessed are you who come in the name of the Lord.
We come to bring our gifts of praise and gratitude to the God of all creation.
Trust in the Lord at all times, O people. God is a refuge for us.
God is our rock and our salvation. We shall not be shaken.
God is good, and in God's work we find our strength.
We sing of all God's wonderful works. Let us give thanks and praise to the Lord.
Now let us join our hearts together and meditate and worship our Lord together with the worship team.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the house of God. Just come as you are to worship. All are welcome here.
Glory coming on the clouds with fire. The whole earth shakes. I see His love and mercy washing over all our sin. The people sing, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. rising up to take their place with selfless faith, with selfless faith. I see a near revival stirring as we crave and seek. We're on our knees, we're on our knees. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the servant king, friend to me. You saved my soul, wash my feet. Here I now give all to you. Lord, I want to be like you. Of me, take this life, Lord, it's yours. Have my heart, oh, have it all. Yeah. Oh, heavy, oh.
Let us pray. God, you are our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. Nothing can separate us from your unfailing love and kindness, not even sickness or the fear of tomorrow. You are our light as we walk in this darkness. We will remember to celebrate the beautiful gifts you have given us in this present moment. We thank you for all the people who love our church and have given their time, talent, and resources to support it. We thank you for the AV and the service production team who have shouldered additional responsibilities this year. And we're grateful for raising up new volunteers who have stepped up to relieve and support these faithful servants. We thank you for the Sunday school teachers, Andy and Valencia, who shower so much love on the kids. We thank you for Kin's work in planning our gift campaign to bless the elderly this Christmas with new appliances and other treats. We thank you for the creativity and passion of the worship team. We thank you for the welcome team who have continued to serve cheerfully, even as they've assumed new responsibilities. We thank you for the board, the council, the pastors, the cell group leaders, as they continue to run the church so that it can continue its mission as a safe haven, as well as a training ground for our ministry in the world. Bless our congregation, Lord. Heal those who are ill and fortify those who care for them. Reassure those who feel troubled and frightened by what the future may hold. Comfort the lonely people who feel alienated even when they're with others. Stand near those who are haunted by bad memories or who bear the scars of abuse that happened years ago. Bring peace to those who experience panic attacks, who feel afraid all the time without knowing why. Lend light to those who pass their days in gloomy clouds of depression, and signal your love to those who feel frustrated at the way life is turning out. Now we silently name before you those who are on our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Our Lord and our God, now as we hear your word, fill us with your spirit. Soften our hearts that we may delight in your presence. Sharpen our minds that we may discern your truth. And shape our wills that we may desire your ways. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Have our hearts, O Lord. Have it all and expand our hearts. Expand our hearts and minds to be wider, to draw our own circles wider, to welcome all in. Lord, shift us into the places where it's uncomfortable for us and welcome, help us to welcome all of your creation, all of your children in. And with this next song, we worship. Draw the circle wide. Draw the circle wide. No one stands alone, we'll stand side by side. Draw the circle wide. Draw the circle wide. Draw the circle wide. No one stands alone,
we'll stand side by side. Draw the circle wide. Draw the circle wide, draw it wider still. Let this be our song. No one stands alone, standing side by side. Draw the circle wide. Draw the circle wide, draw it wider still. Let this be our song. No one stands alone, standing side by side. Draw the circle wide. Draw the circle wide. Draw the circle wide. No one stands alone, we'll stand side by side. Draw the circle wide. Come, draw the circle wide. Draw the circle wide. No one stands alone, we'll stand side by side. Draw the circle wide. Draw the circle wide.
Good morning. Indeed, draw the circle wide. You know, this morning, as we go into the time of looking to God's Word together, I want to invite you to interact and to engage, if you like, by joining us on menti.com. You see the code over there. And the code is 4160009. Right? And so if you want to interact, and there'll be a couple of questions, don't worry, they won't be difficult. Right? So you can interact with us on that, okay? So whether you're online or you're on-site, the number is wrong, right? Okay, I heard that the number is wrong, so let me read you the actual number. See, test my eyesight, okay? Because it's very small. It's 8817042. Is that correct? 8817042. Okay? One more time, 8817042. Okay, thank you. I know Menti is a little bit tricky. Right? So, today is the final installment of our sermon series, A Better Normal. And I thought, what better? What topic better to think about and to focus on than radical hospitality? We know that we love and serve a God of radical hospitality. But what does that really mean? We talk about it quite a bit in our church, but what does it mean? And so I want to invite you to think a little bit about it. On our first question, what does hospitality mean to you? All right? Even if you didn't think about God and radical hospitality, I mean, in general, what does hospitality mean to you? When you think about the word hospitality, what comes to your mind? So if you just kind of like type in, oh, wonderful. Yes, fantastic. I see many people talking about welcome, being welcoming, absolutely, yes. Belonging, fellowship, love, affirming. Yes, it's a lot of food. So important, right? I think regardless of what culture you come from, There is no hospitality without food. Absolutely. Absolutely, yes. Openness, warmth, fellowship. Definitely. So you see, food is quite a big one there, right? So obviously that image comes to mind, right? Like people serving us food, right? I mean, that's such an image of hospitality, right? And I think about often, I mean, my parents are very hospitable. And I've learned a lot about hospitality from them, actually. Because my parents have always welcomed my friends home, you know, open up their home to whoever, like, whatever groups of people who want to come. And my mom will feed them, you know, important, right? Food, you know, and then she'll cook and do different things. And people over the years will actually remember that, right? Because look, those are the little things, right, that embody what hospitality actually means. And hospitality definitely encompasses the sense of welcome, as most of you have said, you know. It's something that we often say to one another when you come to church, you know, or even online, we say, welcome home. Welcome home. And when I think about God's hospitality, I think about God welcoming each of us home, offering us safety and refuge, regardless of who we are or what we've done. God welcoming us home. And when I think about how God extends shelter and safety to us, the image described in Psalm 91 comes to mind. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And this I declare about the Lord, God alone is my refuge, my place of safety, my God in whom I trust. For God will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. God will cover you with his feathers. God will shelter you with his wings. God's faithful promises are your armor and protection. So radical hospitality is really about coming home and welcoming others home. We often think of hospitality as welcoming others home, right? You think about, you know, come to my house, come to my church, let me feed you, right? But we sometimes forget that it all begins with God welcoming us home first. Have you come home to God? It's hard for us to extend true hospitality to others when we are still struggling to come home to God. So hospitality is about us coming home first. And then it's about welcoming others home. And this next question may seem kind of random, but I promise you it has much relevance, all right, to what we're talking about today. So my next question is this. What animal, okay, in the Gospels does Jesus liken himself to? Okay. What animal in the Gospel does Jesus liken himself to? So we have one lion, lamb, okay, chicken, snake. Wow, okay, that Jesus likens himself to, okay, a bit of a trick question, so I give you a hint first, lion, lamb, chicken, snake, which one? Okay, I see a lot of people choosing lamb, yeah, the lamb of God, right, yes, very good, okay, a bit of lion, a few chicken, no snake, okay, okay. Very interesting. Yeah, thank you for participating. Very good. Okay. Excellent. Mm-hmm. So, the answer, right, and you realize that the Lamb of God, right, was something that people called Jesus. Right? People said, here goes the Lamb of God. Right? But Jesus, the animal that Jesus himself spoke about, that he likened himself to, is actually the chicken. To put more specifically, it was the mother hen. The mother hen. And we find this in Luke chapter 13. At some time, some Pharisees said to him, get away from here if you want to live. Herod Antipas wants to kill you. And Jesus replied, go tell that fox that I'll keep on casting out demons and healing people today and tomorrow. And the third day, I will accomplish my purpose. And he says, yes. Today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must proceed on my way. For it wouldn't do for a prophet of God to be killed except in Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings, but you wouldn't let me. So this is where it comes from. Jesus likens himself to a mother hen. I mean, if you think about it, foxes destroy hens. I mean, and Jesus says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often have I wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings, but you wouldn't let me. And interestingly, that's the same image, right, that we saw in Psalm 91. The wings, right, of refuge and safety that God extends over us. But can you picture it? Jesus, a mother hen. Why didn't Jesus choose an animal that could defeat the fox? I mean, surely there's a more powerful animal, right, somewhere. You know, even in the scriptures, you know, and Jesus knew the scriptures very well, it would have given him many possibilities. He could have picked the mighty eagle, right? Or the Lion of Judah, even better. But no, Jesus went with a hen, gathering her brood under her wings. A hen has no fangs, no claws, no rippling muscles. All she has is her willingness to stand between her chicks and those who try to harm them. Have you seen mother hens gather their chicks under their wings when a predator, like a fox, approaches? The way they swell with indignation and fear and courage all at the same time. The way they stand their ground, even though they're so small. The way they are prepared to die if they have to. Their children tucked securely beneath their soft, vulnerable bodies. I can't imagine a more profound or radical picture of our God. Can you? Do you know that mother hens actually have the ability to feel the pain of their children? Mother hens have this thing that we call empathy, an ability that was once thought to be uniquely human. But recent studies suggest that animals also experience empathy. And they found that mother hens are such attentive and caring parents that they actually feel their chicks' pain. And in experiments, female chickens showed clear signs of anxiety when their young were in distress. So I believe it was very intentional when Jesus chose to be compared to a mother hen. Jesus loves and protects us to the extent that he would give his life for us. And not only that, he wants us to know that he has the ability to feel our pain. So when Jesus chose the metaphor of a mother hen and not of a lion or an eagle, he was reminding us that we can feel safe with him because he will protect us with his life. And he understands and feels our pain with us. This metaphor of Jesus likening himself to a mother hen was important enough for it to actually appear twice in the Gospels. So we know that it appears once in Luke, and then it appears again in Matthew. Obviously, this metaphor is so significant that the writers, especially the Gospel writers, thought it was important to record it down. But you know, Christians over the ages, over history, have not really taken to this image, right? I mean, like, when we talk about Jesus, do any of you think, yeah, hen? No, right? Never. I mean, when we talk about Jesus, we say, okay, lah, Jesus, the good shepherd. Yeah, have? Lion of Judah. Have also, lah, huh? Lamb of God. Yes, have. But Jesus' mother, hen, is like, huh? Don't know, leh, never heard about that image before. Not, or at least it's not very, you know, obvious. But yet, it's such an important metaphor that the Gospel writers actually wrote about it in two of the Gospels. It has such deep significance to Jesus and to his early disciples, and I think we should pay a bit more attention to it because it's much to teach us about radical hospitality. Luke's gospel invites us to contemplate Jesus as a mother hen whose chicks don't want her. Not just as a mother hen, but as a mother's hen whose chicks have rejected her. Though she stands with her wings wide open, offering welcome, belonging, and shelter, her children will not come home to her. Can you hear the grief behind it when Jesus says this? How I have longed to gather you under my wings, but you would not come. Her wings, her arms are empty. And this is like a mother longing for her children, a mother bereft and in mourning, a mother struggling with failure and futility. In this better normal, we, each one of us, are called to return home. You are not willing, Jesus says to his wandering children, you would not come back. The image of chicks snuggling under a mother hen's wings is an image of gathering, of community, of intentional oneness. It requires a return on our part, a surrender. What in us is not willing to be gathered under those wings, under the wings of God's care, together with God's people? Where in our lives have we chosen to go it alone? Spurning love because maybe love is too risky. And perhaps the thought of even loving a vulnerable mother hen God feels like a risky thing. Maybe a lion, yeah, that sounds stronger. Yet a mother hen God is who we belong to. She's the one weeping for us. She's the one calling us home. And her body and her heart are laid out there on the line, and she will never ever stop calling us home. So I wanted to ask you, do you feel like you have come home to God? Do you feel like you have come home to God? Why or why not? What makes you feel like you have come home? Or what makes you feel like, I'm not there yet? It's one of those questions that are a little bit hard to really answer, right? Because sometimes coming home to God is a continual thing. It's a thing that we keep doing. It's a thing that we keep wanting to return back to God. So when we think about God's radical hospitality, we think about a mother hen who is calling us to come home. Her wings held patiently and bravely open. And maybe at some point, you have wandered away. And today, God is inviting you to come home again. And someone said, yes, I've come home. God has always provided and God has always loved. Amen. Kind of. I often forget that I am home. Yeah, that's true, right? We sometimes forget that we are already home. Not always, someone says, because I feel it is terrifyingly difficult to justify and live a radical faith. Yes, it is. And we all struggle sometimes. It is hard to do it on our own, but not when we do it together. Yes, because I have come to know in my heart that I'm loved unconditionally by God. Yes, amen for that. Not there yet. Still finding oneself with God, and you are most welcome in your journey here to keep finding yourself so that we walk together to finding God. Yes, to get spiritual protection every day. Sometimes it's hard to rest when I forget who I am in God, yes. Yes, when I reconcile my sexuality and faith with Jesus' assurance that he loves me despite of. Great. And sometimes I run away or hide away, or even run away from myself. Sometimes we do that. Yes, we've come home, but we can be forgetful. Yes, don't feel like it's a barrier, able to be myself with no fear. You realize that's very important, right? We're able to come home to ourselves, we're able to be ourselves with no fear. Perhaps that makes it easier for us to come home to God. And maybe it's the other way around too. Maybe it's when we come home to God, we start to come home to ourselves. In our gospel passage, Jesus grieves for his lost and wandering children, for the little ones who will not come home, for the city, Jerusalem, that will not welcome its Savior. How often have I longed and desired to gather you? This is a lamentation not just for Jerusalem, but for all of us who are unwilling to return home. It's also a lamentation for all those who are out there whom God longs to reach out to and to love, but who are unwilling. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever tried to love or help someone who didn't want to be loved or helped? Okay, so you have three choices there. Yes, I have tried and it was very tough. No, right? I don't know. I'm not sure what's happening there. Okay. Yeah, I see a lot of yeses. Wow, okay. Yes. Many of you have tried to love or help someone who didn't want to be loved or helped, right? Okay. Wow, okay. Amazing. I think we all understand what it feels like, right? In some way and to some degree, what it felt like to try to love or help someone who didn't want to be helped, who didn't want to be loved, who pushed us away, you know, and everything that we tried to do, they said, no, okay, no. So in this better normal, we are called to return home, and we are called to embrace radical vulnerability. You see, loving someone who doesn't want to be loved, that takes radical vulnerability. And that's what Jesus did, right? Like Jesus, there may be times you try to love or help someone and they are not willing. And practicing radical hospitality requires vulnerability. Because we are opening up ourselves to the possibility of being rejected or hurt. And that's tough. That's really hard. And sometimes doing so can even put our lives in danger, right? Sometimes it means it takes us to go out there, right, to lay our lives down on the line. And that's what Jesus did, right? At Jerusalem, when he said all this, he knew that he was going to lay down his life and that Herod was going to come for him. And so you notice that Jesus calls Herod a fox, and he says he's not afraid of what Herod would do to him. He said he's going to continue to do whatever he's called to do, both today, tomorrow, and then the third day. Everything will be fulfilled. But he never argues that a fox isn't dangerous. Right? He never says that, ah, don't worry lah, the fox not dangerous one. No. He never promises us immunity from harm. I mean, if a fox is determined enough, they will find a way to kill a hen and her chicks. What Jesus, the mother hen, offers is not the absence of danger, but the fullness of his unguarded, open-hearted, wholly vulnerable self and his protective love in the face of all that threatens and scares us. What he gives us is his own body, his own life. Wings spread open, heart exposed, shade, warmth, shelter whenever we need it. And what he promises at great risk to himself is the making of his very body, his being, into a place of refuge and return for his children, for all of his children, even those who wanted to stone and kill him. I wonder, what would it take for us to embrace Jesus' vulnerability as our strength too? To trade in our usual images of a mighty conquering God for the mother hen God of this passage. It takes vulnerability and risk for us to practice radical hospitality. And Jesus understands our longing and our pain. When the people we try to love and help refuse our love or help. And Jesus is saying, I feel your pain. I've experienced it too. Continue to hold out your arms in love and wait patiently for them to come home. Wait for them to come home. Do you know how the word hospitality came about? Hospitality is a word with spiritual history. You know, monasteries, they grew around the 5th century, and strangers in need would go there for care. And that was where the first primitive hospitals actually began. And that's why hospitality, right? Hospital, hospice, hospitable, hospitality, they all come from the same root word. And it means generous, caring, sustaining. The most famous of these monasteries was that of Saint Benedict. And Benedict, he created a book of rules to live by called the Rule of Benedict, which is actually used still today by many monasteries. And the foundation of the rule is listening. He says, you listen with the ear of your heart. Listen with the ear of your heart. To listen with the ear of your heart means to be really present for other human beings. And this leads naturally into being hospitable, which in monasteries actually meant giving guests the space to pray, to rest, to enter silence, or to share about their journey of faith with someone. It's actually creating that safe space for them. So at its most basic, hospitality means saying to someone, welcome in, welcome home, not just into our homes, but also into our hearts. Not just into our own homes, but also into our hearts. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 and 2 reminds us, keep on loving each other as siblings. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. And this reminds us of the Old Testament, right? Abraham entertaining angels without realizing it. The word translated as hospitality in Greek is called philoxenia, which is basically derived from philos, which is love, and xenos, which is stranger. So hospitality actually means love of stranger. And this is the opposite of xenophobia, which is the fear of or the aversion to foreigners or strangers, especially those different from us, right? So biblical hospitality is costly. It's hard. Not only are we supposed to be welcoming to people that we like and that we know and are familiar with, we are actually called to welcome those who are different from us. It's easy to love someone who is like us, right? Who has their life all together, quite successful, they've even helped us or given us gifts and are nice to us. Easy to love, easy to welcome home. It's a lot harder to love someone you don't know, who is completely unrelated to your life, someone that doesn't really make a difference, right? Whether they're there or not doesn't make a difference to your life. And maybe sometimes it's people who are very difficult to love, right? People who maybe are struggling in their own ways, they have their own emotional baggage to come and they want to unload it, right? And some of us have done it before ourselves. We have been difficult to love ourselves, you know? And sometimes it's hard to love, right? Those that are not like us, who are different from us. And you know, this Christmas, we have been talking about our theme, give. To give of ourselves, not just give things, although giving things is important and we're going to do that, but to give of ourselves just as Christ gave of himself to be with us, to be Emmanuel, God with us. And so this Christmas, we were thinking, how can we do Christmas differently? You know, usually we have a Christmas service, everybody comes together, we sing Christmas carols, and then we eat a big meal, very yummy meal together, and that's wonderful, right? But that's something that given our current situation, we can't do. We can't sing in this open space together. We can't have a meal together even after church and lay out our tables, you know, and take out all our food and share food together and talk, right? And so Mark and I and, you know, the leaders were thinking, how can we do Christmas differently where we can actually do those things that we long to do? Things that, you know, where we can sing together, where we can eat together, fellowship together. I mean, that's what hospitality really is, right? Food, very important. And we can't do it right here in church. It's terrible. You know, so we are thinking about different ideas and different possibilities of maybe opening up homes, you know, where we can welcome one another and sing together when we are having the service, and to have a meal together. We are trying to tie up some of the details, and we are going to start talking to more of you in the week to come. But we want you to know that that's what we're thinking of, right? To put into action, to apply what hospitality really means. Because if we say that this is a value in our church, then we want to practice it, all right? And then not just talk about it, but to really welcome each other into our hearts, into our homes, right? You know, in our current times with the pandemic and the repercussions of the pandemic, there may be many people who are having a hard time and feeling vulnerable because of their current social, economic, or family situations. And so I want to just spend a moment just for you to reflect. As you think about your local community, our local community, who may be feeling vulnerable right now? Who do you think? All right. And if you think of some people, you can put it out there, or groups of people, you can put it out there. I wanted to kind of stretch our hearts to think about this. Because sometimes we are so caught up with thinking about our situations, our struggles. And those are all important. And those are things that we need to focus on. But sometimes we forget the people around us, even in our community, that may be even struggling even more than us. And we want to hold a moment for all these groups of people. And we can want to think about how we can also reach out and help them if we can. Okay? So yes, we have people who have been retrenched. Yes. There are a lot of people who are facing either retrenchment in the present or even in the future. And there's a lot of fear and uncertainty around that, right? About how some industries are going to do, right? The immunocompromised, yes, absolutely. I think this period has been very challenging for those who have autoimmune diseases. You know, the fear that even if I step out, I can easily be infected by something that could kill me. I think it's a scary thing. Okay. Unloved and the low income, yes. Single parent families, elderly people, retrenched. People suffering from anxiety. The sex workers, like the transgender sex workers, yes. Domestic violence and abuse, yes. We have seen a rise in cases of domestic violence and abuse, especially over the circuit breaker period. And the numbers for hotlines and helplines actually have increased, right? Those who are alone, on their own, right? Those who don't have friends because of their personalities or issues, yes. The socially isolated. Foreigners who can't visit their families, a lot of them, yes. You know, who can't go home because they can't fly home. Migrant workers who can't go home, yes, because of COVID, definitely. Ex-convicts, many of them, right? And I'm so glad that all of you were able to kind of put it out there and that you are actually thinking about these groups of people, because as a church, we're called to go beyond ourselves. You know, and we want to help each other in the struggles that we're going through, but we want to start to really think about other people as well and what we can do for them. We have people who may be living in abusive households, the trans shelter, transgender sex workers, the low-income households, you think about them and the difficulties and struggles they're going through, single parents, migrant workers, and especially those who are socially isolated, who feel very alone during this time. When we think about the period of Christmas, the season of Christmas and Advent, we think about all these people, those who feel alone, those who feel like they don't have anyone to count on. So while we know that hospitality may mean the love of strangers, it can be very difficult, right? In reality, it can be very difficult for us to welcome in those who are very different from us, who are challenging to love. Research and human experience has shown that in the face of diversity, most of us retreat. Okay, that is human instinct. Okay, it's our natural instinct. Usually we congregate to people who are more similar to us. People are very different, we tend to retreat. We tend to gravitate towards people we know and that we are comfortable with. And so for churches like ours that try very hard to be inclusive and diverse, the reality is that we are like fish swimming upstream. It's very hard. We are like trying to like come against the currents because it goes against our natural human instinct, right? When we say we want to be diverse, we want to be inclusive, we want to be hospitable, it's like we're like fighting against the waves, right? And going upstream. It takes intentional work to truly be hospitable. And that's why St. Benedict's rule to listen with the ear of our hearts is sound advice. We start by listening closely to one another with the ear of our hearts, especially those who are different from us. Radical hospitality is a spiritual practice. It's a spiritual practice that we undertake together as a community. It involves opening up our doors, but more than that, it involves opening up our hearts. And I chose to speak about radical hospitality today because there's a world out there that needs home, that needs community. And perhaps this pandemic has highlighted this even more. I want us to stretch spiritually, to stretch ourselves open. Just like Jesus stretched out his arms to gather us all in, I believe the challenge for us in this better normal is to stretch ourselves open. I know that when we take the risk, and yes, of course, we're going to make mistakes along the way, and that's okay. But when we take the risk to stretch open, our lives will grow so much richer and deeper because we have extended ourselves. We will not be stuck with our old assumptions, our narrow ways of perceiving reality. When we practice hospitality, it can become a doorway into a more expansive way of living and of imagining the world. We no longer limit who might be included in God's realm of love, and we begin to see that God is so much bigger than our own imagining. So while practicing radical hospitality may be hard, we don't have to do it alone. We have each other. And as we circle back to Psalm 91, we see what God promises to do for those who make God our refuge, the Most High our dwelling. And you can read Psalm 91 if you want, but I want to summarize it for you. Because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your dwelling place, God says, and this is what God promises to do, I will deliver, I will protect, I will answer, I will be with you, I will rescue, I will satisfy, and I will show you my salvation. From this safe space of refuge and love, we are called to risk vulnerability and practice radical hospitality too, to learn to welcome in difficult experiences and to love people who are different from us. So I want to ask you this question as we come to near the end of the sermon. What new thing did you learn about hospitality today? Was there any new thing that you learned about hospitality today? And maybe nothing was new for you today. Maybe you say, actually I've heard it, all of this. I know all this. Yeah, I know all about Jesus and Mother Hen and all that, right? Maybe what were you reminded of when it comes to hospitality today? All right. So what new thing did you learn about hospitality today, or what were you reminded of that was important when we think about hospitality? Okay. Thank you for sharing what are some of the things that have come to your mind. We have other-centeredness, very, very, very good word, heart, loving unconditionally, radical vulnerability, listening, strangers, yes, spiritual. Space, yes, creating a safe space for others. Absolutely, listening, yes. Embracing difference, yes. God's priority, It's difficult. Yes, hospitality is difficult. Right. Thank you for sharing. Please continue to share. Okay, that's great. Okay, please continue to share. And as you think about what is the new thing that you learned about hospitality today, what the thing that you were reminded of that was important today, I want to ask you another question. And it's, what would you like to do differently with this new knowledge or reminder? I mean, it's good, right? When we learn something new or a reminder about something important, okay, love of strangers, yeah, oh, it's difficult, yes, oh no, you know. And we think about other-centeredness, but what would you like to do differently with this new knowledge or reminder? Because we want it to be something that we put into action in some way, that we think differently in some way, that we practice differently in some way in our lives. Right? Not just something that we know, but something that translates down into action. Right? Wow, thank you. Understand and work through why I feel like retreating. Yes, that's a very good one, right? Because it's our natural instinct to retreat, right? And so if we can understand why we retreat and work through that, it will help us to be more intentional about reaching out. Risk loving those who may reject or are difficult to love. Yes, and that's a huge risk, but an important risk because it's the same risk that God took with us. Want to be more understanding towards those who are different? Great. To make room for those who are different in my life? Yes. Very hard, right? But we all try together. We practice and accept vulnerability? Yes. To realize that to do so needs us to practice and accept that we have to be vulnerable, to be more open to others, to host lonely people with dinner in my home. That's wonderful. That's beautiful, right? Especially in this Christmas period. Set aside time and resources. See how I can help. Yes. To welcome strangers in. Need of a community. Yes, absolutely. That's something that we are committed to do. To be understanding towards those that are different. To listen more. Yes. Listen with the ear of your heart to those around me. Right. To life routine like work and relaxation. Okay. Right. To show understanding with heart. Yes. When I feel weary and try to love others, to come back to mother hen. Yes, I love that, right? Because we risk all the stuff, right? It's hard, sometimes we get rejected, but we need to remember that we get to come back to our own mother hen God. That is what God is calling us to do. Come home, right? Let me love you. Let me strengthen you. Let me help you. Let me protect you, right? To proactively reach out to the needy, to open house for food, wonderful. And gathering during Christmas, or as always, wonderful. Understand that being vulnerable is not a disadvantage. Yes, yes, and yes. It's impossible to love without being vulnerable. Right? To practice giving without expecting returns, yes. To be aware and acknowledge those whom I do not welcome, and to show kindness, yes. Thank you for that. Thank you so much for sharing all of that. Yeah, sorry, I'm leaning in because the words are very small from where I am. So I'm trying to read all the things that you're writing. Okay? So I want to give you all some that time and space to think about this, because God has welcomed us home with open arms. Jesus risked rejection and death in order to extend those wings of welcome and refuge to us. So radical hospitality is firstly, always about how God welcomes each of us home, regardless of who we are or what we've done. This mother hen God welcomes all her children under her wings, no matter how they behave, how they look, whether you are cute or not, you know, no matter what hurtful things that you have done. The God who opens her heart of healing and welcome to you. The God who feels what I feel, who assures me that when I've made mistakes, when I wandered from the right path, when I've been overwhelmed by the foxes in my life, that those holy wings are still spread over me, protecting me, sheltering me, keeping me safe, loving me. And from this safe space of love and protection, may we reach out boldly to extend that same love that same radical hospitality that God has shown us to those who need to be welcomed home. Amen.
Welcome to this table of radical hospitality. This table that represents God's love that doesn't have any boundaries. We gather each Sunday at this table, even though at this time we may not be all physically together. This table of God's feast transcends time and space because God's love transcends all boundaries. So this table recognizes no boundaries. Here at FCC, we celebrate an open table. That means that you do not need to meet any criteria. You don't have to be a member of FCC. You don't have to be baptized. All you need to recognize is God's grace is sufficient. For those who are present here, I'm sorry about the flashing projection screen. We are struggling with that. But I would like to invite you to join us for this reflection and meditate on the words if you cannot read it. We are your people, God, called together in your love. We are your children, Mother, called around the table of your word. We are your disciples, Lord, called to give you thanks and praise.
We thank you, good and gracious God, for calling us to be your people, for giving us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hands to touch and bless our world.
Even as your people, God, we are separated from ourselves, each other, and you, the creator of life. Let us confess our brokenness.
As people caught in our tradition, we confess that we have helped perpetuate systems that deny the dignity and sacred worth of all sorts and conditions of persons. We have paid lip service to equality. Our lives are based on discrimination of the other. We have been our own worst enemies. We have failed ourselves, others, and we have failed you, God. Moved by your power, we accuse ourselves because we have not allowed you to form us as a new people. We confess our sin and we pledge to work for reconciliation with one another.
We thank you, gracious God, for forgiveness and a chance to start again. We thank you, gracious God, for the gift of your Spirit given to us in Jesus, in whom we are freed from the past and its oppression, in whom the gift is complete. Gracious God, you are the Mother of creation and the Father of all life. We are gathered here as your people to thank you for your blessings and to receive your mercy and forgiveness. And to remember how Jesus died for us, accepting death to show his love for us and you.
We remember how Jesus came to us, becoming one of us, born like us, of flesh and blood and bone, a fully human person like us in all things but sin. We remember how, on the night before Jesus died, he gathered with his friends for one last meal. As Jesus loved them then, so he loves us now.
Sisters and brothers, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. The person who aligns with me hungers no more ever. Anyone eating this bread will not die ever. "This is my body, broken for you. Take, eat, remember me." Jesus says, "I am the vine and you are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the harvest is sure to be abundant. I love you as I have been loved. Abide in my love. This is my blood shed for you. Take, drink, remember me." Would the stewards come forward to distribute elements? Because of safe distance and requirements, please wait for the stewards to hand you the communion elements and not take it yourself. Thank you. Together.
Jesus, you are always present in our midst. You come to us simply, lovingly, humbly, in word and sacrament, in this bread and wine, and in a love we share with one another.
Let us eat and drink of this bread and wine, remembering Jesus, his teaching, his life, his suffering, his death, and his rising to new life. May I invite you to stand, if you're willing and able, to join in the prayer of communion. Gracious and loving God, you have made us one in the body of Christ and nourished us at your table with holy food and drink.
Thank you for feeding our hunger and relieving our thirst. With deep gratitude, we offer you our lives, our love, ourselves, gathered in Jesus by your life-giving Spirit. May we become a new people, wholly pleasing to you, a people giving glory to your name. Amen.
Thank you. Please be seated.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome home once again. Now we move on to the section whereby we continue our worship of God through our giving. May I have the slide for the monthly giving through give.asia, please? Now, for now, you are able to give through credit card through our freecomchurch.give.asia. Whether you are giving one time or monthly, I'm encourage everyone to use this platform for your monthly giving if you are giving through your credit card, right? Because it's easier than to create a standing order for your monthly giving. So this is, we are actually showing you the interface of what will be the landing page like for freecomchurch.give.asia. And in the next slide, you're able to see that there are various fields you can actually fill in. Especially there are two lines. Please take note, there's two lines. The first line will be your donation to FCC. That's actually for your offering. And then there's a line for a donation to give.asia. That goes to the platform, and that's not mandatory. Your name and email to receive an email receipt, please fill that in if you have not filled it before. And of course, lastly, there's a privacy setting if you wish to remain anonymous to the public view. And for many like me, you give through PayNow. That's the time whereby you can actually take out your phone now and go to your iBanking apps, right, and scan the QR code. There are two QR codes. One goes to the general fund of the church, and the other will be the building fund of the church. For those who are on-site in church, at the back of most chairs or some chairs, you'll be able to see the stickers of the QR code, and you can scan them to give. So as mentioned earlier, right, by Mel, I think something wonky with the screen, and Sean also like reminded me, we must say, right, because this is our home, and it runs on our generosity to it. And I like to invite all of us to continue to worship and give to God, right, to build up this home so that it can continue to be a hospitable space that's comfortable for all of us to love one another and to encounter God's love. Right? So, before we take up the collection, I will actually lead all of us through a prayer of thanksgiving. However, before I go into prayer, I think I'd like to thank Pauline for that wonderful sermon. I think it's so rich and so deep. There's a lot of things to uncover and dig through it. And it's no surprise that in the liturgical calendar, right, on the last Sunday of every liturgical calendar, it's actually a celebration of the reign of Christ. And if you look at the lectionary for this week today, for the reign of Christ, it's no surprise that the lectionary tells us to read about Matthew chapter 25, which it ties in very nicely with our sermon for today about hospitality, because each time we participate in an act of giving, an act of hospitality, that is intricately linked to our salvation. So before we go into prayer, allow me to read from Matthew chapter 25, all right? Just an excerpt from verse 34 onwards to verse 37. Then the king said to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." All right. Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty, gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." So would you join me in a time of prayer to give thanks for our offering? God, you are a God of generosity and radical hospitality. We were strangers to you, or we count ourselves strangers towards you. Before we knew that we needed love, you first loved us by giving up your life for us. Lord, So now we love you. We give of ourselves to you, our lives, our time, things that we have, we hold in our hands, blessed by you. We give it to you, Lord. Help us to, with these gifts and offerings, build up a family, a home, to continue the mission, to be a hospitable place for all in the world to come and encounter your radical love. God, help us to become more and more like you, a lover, a giver. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now, we'll invite the those who are giving on-site. You may actually raise up your hand and the steward will go around so that you can actually drop the offering that's for the on-site, right, into the offering bag. All right. The next part, we actually move on to announcement. Right, everyone, once again, it's still morning, and so good morning to you. My name is Jimmy, and for those of you who are first time with us on-site or online, or fairly new with us, welcome home. Where FCC, right, is Free Community Church, and where free stands for first realize everyone's equal. All right, and to our old friends over here, or our old family members, right, who are able, managed to get a seat with us, actually, not difficult to get a seat, lah. So encouraging people to come and join us on-site. Welcome home also. We are having a few announcements this morning. Firstly, right, for as I mentioned, those who are fairly new with us or first time with us, online and on-site, please help us to know you better and serve you better by going to fcc.la. It's very Singaporean, right? fcc.la/fccwelcome and fill up the welcomers form so that we are able to get in touch with you to understand you better. Next. Right, pastoral support. This will be an ongoing announcement. All right, for those of you, as I mentioned earlier, right, sometimes during this season, especially I think during holiday season near the corner, sometimes you may feel very isolated, or sometimes you may feel very down, or people around you, or your friends or family, right, you feel that, you know, they may need some kind of pastoral support. Do reach out to us at info@freecomchurch.org, and our pastors will actually get in touch. Next, we have a weekly prayer meeting that happens on Zoom. And so it's from 8 to 8:30. You can visit the Zoom prayer meeting on Wednesday by going to fcc.la/fccprayse with an S. All right? Next, there will be another regular announcement. Join the FCC WhatsApp broadcast list if you have not done so. Maybe just a show of hand of people on site. How many of you are I won't ask, it's not la. So if you're comfortable, right, who are already on the broadcast list, a show of hands. Because it's very important, right? Thank you very much. Because as I mentioned earlier, right, in the next 2 weeks, right, a lot more announcement about what we are going to do, the surprises we're going to do for our special Christmas service will also be broadcast on the broadcast list. So if you have not joined us, please add this number, 9366-3818 to your phone. Text your name to this number, all right? Save the number first. Text it, your name to this number or alias, all right? And then we will be able to record you onto the broadcast list so that you'll be included in our broadcasting. Okay? Next, FCC is now on YouTube Live. Okay, thanks to the last few weeks, like everybody very, you know, like my silk speech, in encouraging people to click, right? We have more than 100. But we want to continue to grow, right? Why is 100? In this like new social media age, right, people like go by the thousands. You know, this new term I am sharing people. You know, we want to be in a way, right, a KOL, you know, key opinion leader. So we are looking at the thousands. So help to share our YouTube channel around, all right, and forwarding to your friends and ask them to subscribe. And then click on the little button, all right, over there to subscribe. So they can watch it anytime, and it also give you a reminder on when the live stream will be going live to watch the service. Next, of course, we can't do all these wonderful and amazing things without our volunteers, who we want to thank Wendy for praying for all the volunteers and for more volunteers to come on board, right? Because having volunteers is really very critical in helping us to send the message of love and hospitality out into the world. because we reckon that sometimes it's not possible for people to visit our church on site. And so we want to bring church to them. All right? So if you don't worry about having like, oh, I need technical skills. I need to know like, what is the three quarters rule? What is the golden rule of proportion? All right? I need to know how to technically set up a camera stand or things like that. Don't worry about that. All right? We offer on-job training, okay, OJT. So even if you are just interested to and keen to see how things looks like behind the scene, no obligation, just reach out to us at info@freecommonchurch.org, and then our leader, all right, I think likely it will be Gary, will actually reach out to you to arrange for a tour, you know, like, now, right, y'all cannot go holiday, right? So want to go on a tour, right? Can do a FCC production team tour, right? In a way, you get to see new things you have not seen from in front of the your computer screen. You can go behind the scenes. All right? So just jokes aside, we really like to have more people come and experience the blessing you receive through serving. Okay. Now, Christmas. All right? This is, I think I should have worn something like Santa Claus hat to get in the mood, right? Christmas gift 2020. All right? We are now calling for sponsors, whether it's by cell group or individuals, all right, to have a Christmas presents to be given to small household appliances. Things like people can use for on a daily life, like maybe like, you know, microwave, toaster ovens, and things like that. To our elderly, these are 13 elderly from the tea shelter, all right? The transgender elderly. And sometimes they are, you know, alone by themselves. And they need daily appliances to make their life smoother and easier. Because sometimes we give food, right? We give a lot of food. And people, no way of preparing the food. How to eat? So, if you find that, hey, I you know, y'all have gift exchange, right? And sometimes, like me, right, I have appliances piling up at home, sitting down there for the past 3 years, not being used. I think if you're like me, right, I don't like hoarding, like to do a Marie Kondo, right? This is the best time, right, to bless someone with these gifts. All right, so how do you do that? You can reach out to us, all right? I think there's no information on reaching out, but you can always go to a cell group leader or go to info@freecommonchurch.org. All right, the list of items will be shared in the coming weeks after confirming with the elderly. Of course, we want to give something that people want. We want to give something that they may not know how to operate, all right? So, in fact, our little ones, right, our young children, during the Sunday schools, they're actually preparing little gift cards and greeting cards so that you can actually share the love and care to our elderly. Not just to the elderly at the tea shelter, but also those whom we are serving around the Commonwealth area, right? The elderly where our dirty hands are actually serving. So these are the wonderful things. If you want to be part of this, reach out to us. You know, if you want to be a blessing to others, right? Time to exercise. You want to be on the right hand or the left hand, up to you lah. But I definitely want to be on the right hand, right? So that's where we want to be more like Christ and share our love this season. Next, very, very important. As a member of the board, right, of the church board, I need to emphasize this. If you're a member of the church and you have not signed up for our AGM, please do so, all right? Please go to fcc.la/attendagm2020. Even if you are not a registered member of the church, don't worry. There's no secrecy in it, lah. Of course, due to the space limit, right, the priority, we try to give it to our registered members. But you are welcome to observe or sit in to see how it's operated and done. Okay, it's on the 29th of November 2020 from 1:30 onwards to about 3:30. We always try to strive to end on time so that, you know, people don't get too tired. So it's very important because, as you said, right, 2020 is a quite uncertain year. And we want to come together to have all hands on deck so that we can move together as a church, as one family, you know, like a single ship, right, going on the voyage. So I need everybody to be aligned together. And there's no better way, right, to do it during the AGM so that the leaders can also be accountable to all the members of the church, all right, to be held accountable and then to share what's the progress being made and what we are looking forward to. Lastly, all right, before I go to talk about the feedback, I think I missed out one thing during the Christmas, right? And that is actually, if you have your, you know, diary, if you're like, my beloved sister Dot here, right, who likes to write on diary, right, or if you're a digital person on your phone, right, book the date, 25th October, 10:30. Oh, sorry, December. 25th December, 10:30. All right, too excited already, right? We are planning out something new. As what Pauline has mentioned, right, we are actually trying to plan out a very special Christmas whereby people can gather together to share and fellowship and really to be rooted in the season of hospitality and radical giving to one another. So we'll release more news, more details and updates in the next coming 2 weeks, but book your calendar, all right? 25th December 2020, 10:30 a.m., all right? That will be the time whereby we will actually be carrying out this Christmas service, all right? As for whether on the 27th, whether we might be having, what arrangement we might be having for that Sunday, we'll also be releasing more news on how we'll be carrying out our service during the Christmas season. Okay, so we'd love to hear your feedback. If you have something like burning feedback, you always give, right, compliments, feedback. We want to hear that from you, right? So just go to fcc.la, okay, that's la/fcclivefeedback. And every, as I mentioned many times, many of our service leaders mentioned many times, right, every Monday in the evening, right, the service team, production team, and a pastor, we come together to review what we have done for the day before, so that we can examine and do things better for every Sunday. And then we always take time, right, to read through the feedback and so that we can see how we can do better, all right? So we welcome all the compliments and also the feedback to help us to do better. So coming to the end of the announcement, all right, but before we end our service, let's join our hearts together once again, and also people online, you can actually sing at the comfort of your home or wherever you are, right, on one last song to worship God together.
Jesus, beautiful Savior, God of all majesty, risen King, Lamb of God, your holy and righteous, blessed Redeemer.
I love you. Jesus, I love you.
May I invite you to stand in body and spirit to receive the benediction. People of the God of radical hospitality, may you always remember how God received you as a stranger with love, with hospitality, with vulnerability. As you go out into the world, may you show the same love to strangers around you too, so that those boundaries will melt away and we see each other no longer as strangers, but siblings and followers of a God who shows up as a mother hen, one who will shelter us, protect us, even with her own body. Go in peace and love always. Amen.
Thank you, and please be seated. For those online, thank you for joining us this Sunday. This concludes our service, and I'd like to thank you and like to say goodbye and see you next week at 10:30.